Good evening. All right, it's time for Bible study, Monday Manna. Come on in, everybody. Waiting for you to come in. We're looking for you guys. We're ready for Bible study. Amen. Amen. All right, looks like we have a few people coming on. Hello, how's everybody?
You got a live feed, Reverend?
I do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I trust everyone's having a great day and enjoying this these first few days of spring as we move into another season of the year. And, you know, as I was thinking about that, oftentimes, so it is in our own lives, we go through different seasons of the year. And with each season comes adjustments and transition, and sometimes we have to make some major changes. I know with this season, we can see the shedding of some of the winter clothes, and then we prepare to put on lighter apparel. Is that right, Lady Kim?
Mm-hmm.
And so then when the summer comes, we even try to get down as light as we possibly can. Particularly in a region where the weather is pretty hot. And in Memphis, we know we have some humid summers, but we hope and pray that even as you go through the different, we okay? Are we okay with the sound and everything?
It keeps going in and out, so. But we're still here.
Okay, all right. Let us know. Give us a sound check. Let us know that that we're coming in and that you can hear us. And Lady Kim has an iPad here. We're trying to make sure that we have everything circulating pretty good and that everyone can hear us. Let us know that you can hear us and that we're on good and that everything is going fine. All right. I think you're playing back a video, Reverend. I don't know. Go see it's moving, so might want to turn it off and go back on. But we're in the book of Genesis again tonight. We're going to be in chapter 27, and we're going to move through chapter 27, 28, and 29, if that's if we can get that far. I think we did much of 27 on last week, and we kind of stopped in the middle of that so that we can kind of make sure that we covered some of the key elements of that particular chapter. But we see some interesting dynamics taking place here as we move through. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight and then just kind of get a sense of what God is saying to us, even as we continue to journey through this book of beginnings. You know, we're still early on in this new year, and we're still in the first quarter. We're getting ready for the resurrection celebration. And so it still leaves room for us to make necessary adjustments even as we move through. And so we're in the season of fasting and praying here at ATOP, and we hope many of the members are participating in this, the 21-day fast, 20 days, but many have started early. And so it's a time where we really look at internally what's going on and then our relationship with Christ and then making sure that we have shedded ourselves of some things as we move into this new season that we're in preparation of what God will do in our lives. Isn't that right?
Amen.
All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer. You got everything working, Lady Kim?
I know. Seems like it.
Okay. Is the sound, anybody said anything?
Yeah,
about
they said
this?
the sound is good. Someone, Marissa's grandmommy here in Illinois says that she can hear us very well.
Okay.
Welcome. We're glad to have you
That's good.
tonight.
That's good. We want to make sure everybody can hear, because we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we believe somebody's faith is going to be increased tonight, because you're going to hear this word. Not only are you going to hear the word, but you're going to be a doer of the word. And then you're going to put this word into practice so that your faith might increase. Your faith is going to increase much more than it was before 6 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. And by the time we get through this lesson, you're going to be stronger in your faith. Does anybody out there believe that?
Amen.
I believe that's what's going to happen. All right, let's go to God in prayer as we prepare for our time together tonight. God, we thank you for another day, and thank you for this virtual Bible study.
Yes.
Thank you that we have ears to hear, eyes to see. And then, God, you made us assess ourselves and avail ourselves to be able to receive what you have in store for us. We pray now your blessings to be upon us as we engage in this study tonight, that you will bring back to remembrance those things you've already taught us. And then, God, that our faith might increase, and that we might not let this word fall on deaf ears, but it might fall on solid ground, and that it might be as seed and fertile soil unto our souls. So we love you tonight. We thank you for each person on this call and the families that they represent. And we ask your blessing to be upon us now as we engage in this time together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, we're in Genesis 27 chapter, and we're going to move, try to cover at least three chapters tonight. Each Bible study opportunity on Mondays, we just kind of do a point of reflection from yesterday's worship experience. And Lady Kim is usually the one who gives that update and that that refresher.
I'm the designated summarizer. Huh?
That's right. You're the designated summarizer. And so we're excited about that. And those of you who were not able to be a part of our worship service, you can go back to our website and you can view all of our worship experiences. And I believe we had a pretty good time yesterday. Tell us a little bit about what happened, Lady Kim.
We had an awesome time yesterday. I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord was in that place. And as you preached from John, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 8, and the sermon title was Come Forth.
Come forth.
I think it's a very familiar passage of Scripture for those of us who have been, around the Word of God for a while. We've all heard of the story of Lazarus, Lazarus was a friend of Jesus,
right.
A good friend of Jesus.
That's right.
And Lazarus became sick. And they sent a message to Jesus saying, your friend is sick, really wanted Jesus to come and see about him. But Jesus stayed where he was for several more days. And as a result, Lazarus died of his sickness. And when he came back, Lazarus was Mary and Martha's brother.
Okay, all right.
And so when Jesus came back to town,
mm-hmm.
Jesus asked him, where was he? And they informed him that he had died. And Jesus said, told them that sickness was not unto death, but it was for the glory of God.
For the glory of God.
Yes.
Okay.
So you also spoke from the 11th chapter, and you skipped down to verses 35 through 44.
Mm-hmm.
And you had some pivotal points that we could think about. And the first point was delay is not denial.
Okay.
That even though Jesus delayed his coming back to town, that Lazarus's healing was not denied.
Wow, that's good. That's good. Okay.
And so your other one was God wants to reveal purpose in our predicament,
mm-hmm.
And so he went to Lazarus's grave, and he said, Lazarus, come forth.
Right.
And right. Lazarus came forth. He was, you know, he had his grave clothes on, but he told him, loose him and let him go. Mm-hmm. He told the people to loose Lazarus and let him go. Okay. The unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that was a pivotal point also, that God wants to reveal purpose in our predicament. And so the purpose was for God's glory to be revealed. You know, Jesus made sure that he was gone long enough so that people would know that it was God's doing and it wasn't a trick or something like that.
Okay, okay. That was pretty good. Lady Kim, you added a couple more elements there to that particular mm-hmm. sermon, but that was excellent. And there's a lot of meat still on that bone. And I think even as people read it, in their leisure in that 11th chapter, you can find some other elements there that will help you. But this was a serious relationship issue, and Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived in Bethany. They were very close with Jesus. And probably no doubt when you look into that text and read underneath, you'll see probably where that's many times probably perhaps where Jesus would hang out when he was coming to Bethany. It was not that far from Jerusalem, but he was very familiar with this family, and they were familiar with him. And Martha, she could have had a little attitude there, you know, because she was kind of hostile with him, you know, because she was saying, no, you should have been here, you mm-hmm. know. And we're a little upset right through here. This is your friend. We called on you several days ago, and you taking your time to get here. Now he dead, you know. Mm-hmm. In fact, when he got there, he had been dead for 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, powerful passage on relationship. And that 11th chapter, I think around verse 35, it's a very familiar passage of scripture that we tell people to go ahead and just highlight that. Probably the shortest verse in the Bible, and many times people look for it. Is it the 35th chapter, 35th verse? Jesus wept.
Yes.
Verse 35 of that 11th chapter. And he was weeping because of his, you know, what had happened and what had transpired. Is that about right?
It's verse the 35th.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jesus wept.
Didn't see it, it's so little.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, let's jump in tonight. And so we appreciate that, Lady Kim, for you sharing. We're moving right into... As a matter of fact, we're right on the tail end of Palm Sunday. It's this Sunday coming up. And then, of course, Good Friday, the last week of Jesus' ministry on earth. We go through that whole process that leads us to the Resurrection Sunday. And so this is the time that believers really should allow their banners to wave high and their... voices to be heard, because this is where we hang our hats on this resurrection story.
Absolutely.
And this is what we draw our faith from as we go through life and as we go through different experiences. We know that just as God was able to raise Jesus from the dead, that he can raise us out of our situations and out of our circumstances as well.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Absolutely.
Kim? Lift your hands and receive that.
I receive it in Jesus' name.
You say, I receive it? All right. All right. Let's go ahead and get started. Anything else you want to share about?
No, that was good.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you, and we appreciate that recap. And you being a designator, what did you call it?
Summarizer.
Summarizer.
The designated right. summarizer.
Somebody put that in there so we can have it a part of our notes, because we won't remember that in a couple of weeks. But designated summarizer is Lady Kim. Can somebody type that in so we can make sure we have it as a part of this virtual Bible study? All right. Well, we're in the 27th chapter of Genesis, the book of beginnings. We're moving right through. We're getting ready to just kind of do a little recap, because we already opened this door last week, isn't mm-hmm. that right?
Yes.
And then we left off, so we kind of just held up on that and encouraged people to go ahead and read it so that they can be familiar with it. Basically, what we do, for those of you who are joining us for the first time, we do a recap. We don't read each of the verses and each chapter, but we just kind of summarize those chapters, and we encourage you, the viewer and the listener, to read it at your leisure and in your own time, and it'll come back and help you get a sense of what we were sharing tonight. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes, and we hope you can read the chapters prior to coming on to Bible study. That will help you to understand the summarization that we give, and also a chance for you to ask any questions that you may have.
Okay, all right, there it is, a designated summarizer. We got it as a part of the records for tonight's study. All right, so Lady Kim, this particular chapter, tell us a little bit about obtaining these blessings, and we see a lot of drama taking place in this chapter. And I think you left off saying you were going to just give us a little insight in terms of blessings versus birthrights.
I believe
that's what we closed out with last week. Is that right?
That's right, because I learned something, you know, new on last week when I studied chapter 27. And, you know, I always read about Esau giving up his birthright to mm-hmm. his brother Jacob.
Okay.
But I never really realized that there was a difference between the birthright and the blessing.
Okay.
So in the end, Jacob got both. Mm-hmm. And that's why his brother Esau was so upset, because Jacob was able to get away with the birthright and the blessing. Mm-hmm. So let me give you a little background,
yeah,
first of all,
mm-hmm.
On chapter 27. And if we want an overall theme or a main focus, it would be obtaining the blessings.
Okay.
Obtaining the blessings. The focus is on where the blessings are going.
Okay.
Okay. It's on where the blessings are going. The blessing first given to Abraham was then passed on to Isaac, but did not come to Isaac's firstborn Esau, but to his second son, Jacob, breaking ancient Middle East traditions, such as blessings of a father going to the firstborn son. Isaac desired that Esau, the oldest brother, his favorite, receive the blessing. Rebekah, which was the mother or Isaac's wife, desired that Jacob, her favorite, receive the blessing by concocting a scheme. Jacob carried out the plan by imitating or pretending to be his brother. Esau realized his blessing had been given to Jacob. Isaac gave Esau a blessing. Listen to this. Isaac gave Esau a blessing instead of the blessing, or the real or traditional blessing. Esau became enraged at Jacob and promised to kill Jacob, whose mother intervened and sent him away to look for a wife. This not real blessing caused division in the family.
Okay, so these were Isaac's sons, is that correct?
Isaac's twin sons,
twins.
First recorded.
They were twins.
Yes, they were twins.
Okay, and so you indicated that even though the blessing was given to Abraham from the beginning, it was not completely fulfilled before he passed, but it was passed on to his son, his first son, the son of promise.
The son of, see.
That was not mm-hmm. his first son, but that was the son of promise.
Right.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so they had, Isaac had two sons, well, they had twins, he and his wife, and do you know which one was the oldest, or what caused
Esau
this?
Esau was the oldest.
Okay.
Jacob was Jacob was the youngest.
Okay.
Yes.
What, how do you say that, and they were twins? How did you come to that assumption?
Well, it said when they were in the womb, they kind of...
they were tugging at each other.
Yes, and it said that Jacob held on to Esau's heel.
Okay.
You know, he's a heel grabber. He's the heel grabber.
That's some of that twin dynamics that those twins go through. But so it was a matter of seconds, matter of minutes before It might not have been that long.
Right.
But Esau was the first,
mm-hmm.
and then Jacob.
Yes.
And Jacob tricked Esau, and he and his mother tricked Esau out of his birthright.
Yes. Well, he was tricked out of his blessing.
Out of his blessing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Esau gave up his birthright because he was hungry.
Okay.
And he gave up his birthright for a meal.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Some pottage. So, oatmeal or something like that.
Yes.
Whatever they were
eating.
A pot
of stew.
Okay.
But, you know, we talked about the difference between the birthright and the blessing. And so the birthright honors the rights and privileges of the firstborn son. And this was a tradition back then. The firstborn son had the birthright.
Okay.
After the father's death, the firstborn assumed the father's authority and responsibility for the family. The father could rescind and pass it on to the younger son, and the birthright recipient inherited two times that received of the older sons.
Wow.
So the older son got twice as much inheritance as the younger sons did. So that's why it was significant, you know, they wanted to keep their birthright. And then the blessing was encouragement or details regarding each son's inheritance and prophetic words concerning the future. So the father would speak prophetically over the eldest son. That was the blessing. The father would give a blessing to the eldest son about other family members, about their life, about other things. And so that was the difference between the birthright and the blessing. And we'll see that here in this chapter 27. As a matter of fact, in verse number 28, that's where Isaac gives the blessing.
Okay. That's powerful, because even as you were giving us that recap and helping for us to distinguish between the birthright and the blessing, you know, a lot of the traditions that have been passed on to generations even now have come as a result of examples and of situations that we have seen in scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And many times when you talk about the birthright and you talk about the blessing, it can be interpreted even today as the person who would be the oldest taking responsibility for being, what do they call it, trustee or the, what's another word, when the parents have passed and they are administrator of the property,
mm-hmm.
that has been left, and they are the ones who kind of navigate in terms of what will happen. But what you find out now, Lady Kim, similar to what we have even in that text, is that there can be trickery, there can be confusion, there can be favoritism, and there can be a lot of things that happen to cause division even today. When, say, for instance, the parents pass, and then the sons, or it's normally go to the oldest son, receives that birthright. When that happens, even today, if the other siblings are not in line with what has been granted, even though that oldest son, by his numerical age, does not necessarily mean that he would be the one who was aptly able to take care of the responsibility of what it entails in terms of the inheritance that's left.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Yes.
But God, in the proper principles for taking care of and managing, that's a better word, managing the affairs of the inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes a issue, and people sometimes get bent out of shape, just like we see here in this story. And that still has trickled down even today.
Right. Somebody, Landy said beneficiaries. It's not called a beneficiary. Beneficiaries are all the people who benefit from that particular inheritance that are designated in the will.
Okay.
But sometimes there is a, and I can't think of the word either, a trustee, or the main purpose person that they put in charge after the parent passes away. Mm-hmm. But it's not called a trustee. It's called something else. And the word escapes me right now. But, executor. Thank you, Angela. executor. Yes. Yeah. The executor mm-hmm. of the will.
So they have the right to execute and to make decisions as well as administer whatever is needed in order to live out. It becomes a will and of the deceased mm-hmm. parents for that person to live out what they had put in place and execute it to the letter, because this is what they want. Isn't that pretty much the way it goes?
Yes, it is. And nowadays, you know, I don't know where it changed that, but I guess the parents give the executor responsibility to the person who is most likely to carry out their wishes. And it's not necessarily the eldest child.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yes, I'm not sure how that came about mm-hmm. or how that mm-hmm. came into being.
Okay.
But,
well,
yes.
it's obvious, and I think you indicated even today in the beginning part of our story mm-hmm. That the father, Isaac, he had a favorite,
mm-hmm.
and the mother, Rebecca, she had a favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And so favoritism many times can be deployed because of what they see in their kids. And I think the same is true, particularly for those of us who have kids. We know and we can look at and we can get a good idea of who's going to be and who's going to handle the business,
mm-hmm.
even if they fall in the middle or they fall at the end of,
right.
of the sibling chain. What is that called? The sibling pecking order, or however you want to call it. But parents know.
Yeah.
And so that really has kind of broke with the tradition of what we see in biblical days in terms of that firstborn being the one to execute. And it was almost like that was a given. I mean,
yes.
that was, and so when they went against the grain here, and you indicated it, it really caused a stir in the relationship with these two sons.
Yeah, and I think it caused a stir basically because it was deceptive. It
okay.
was done deceptively. As you stated, Esau was the oldest. Isaac told Esau, go out hunting. And because Esau was a hunter, he said, go out, get me some of that good game that you always hunt for, bring it home and fix me a good pot of stew
mm-hmm.
because I'm old and I'm getting ready to die. And when he was, and he said, and when you come back, I will give you my blessing. And Rebecca, his wife, overheard what he said.
Okay.
And so once Esau was gone to hunt, she told Jacob to pretend like he was Esau so he can go in.
Dress up like him and everything, right?
And receive the blessing. Yes, so that's where the deception came in. You know,
put on some hair, made it feel like he was burly, kind of.
Yeah, Esau was mm-hmm. a hairy guy,
mm-hmm.
and I guess Jacob wasn't.
Okay.
So the mother had him go and put some animal skin on over his arms,
right.
and he had him put on Esau's clothes, so when he came forward, he hugged his dad, he would smell like Esau.
Wow.
And when his dad felt him and put his hand on his neck, he would feel that hairiness on his arms and on his neck. And he said, you sound like Jacob,
but you smell like Esau. And so it's obvious then that Isaac was having some issues as he was maturing in his age, right?
Yes, he was blind.
Okay.
He was blind, so
okay.
he couldn't see well.
Okay.
So that's how they got away with it.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
okay. And it's a whole lot of comparison in this narrative that helps us understand deception even today,
mm-hmm.
because it's happening now, you know, and people are still trying to deceive. We know that the enemy, the devil, Beelzebub, however you want to frame it, he is the master of deception. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And many times when people start listening to what the enemy would have for them to do, it's contrary to what God would have for us to do.
Right, absolutely.
And we find ourselves going down a situation and get into a situation that's not of God, but we found ourselves being trapped by the tricks of the enemy.
Right, right, yes. Okay. But we know that God's will prevail.
That's right.
Even when deception is involved.
Okay.
So, but don't deceive people because you block your blessing.
Wow.
You mess up your blessing.
That's good. What did you say? Let me write that down.
Don't deceive people because you'll block your blessing.
Don't deceive. How you spell deceive? Now I'm just
blessing block. You know what?
Blessing blocker. Hey,
glory.
Ah, there it
I
is.
I leaped in my spirit.
See,
I might need to preach about that. Blessing blockers.
There it is. Right there.
Yes, Lord. That sounds good. How y'all like that for a sermon?
See there?
Yeah, I might have to work. Well, let me write that down too, because you know
it.
I won't remember that. Blessing blockers.
Right, that's right. And so that happens. That's so prevalent even today. And people find themselves being used by the enemy. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, because you have to understand the ploys of the enemy, because if not, you get tangled up in a web of deception and deceit and all of that, because you are not understanding the ploys of the enemy.
Right.
And
right.
So we have to be mindful of that, and have to be ready to understand how just as the Lord uses us, the enemy can use us as well. Do you believe that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Somebody said that's a series, Reverend, so I'm going to cut you loose. You ready to go and run with that?
No, sir, not yet. That's simmering. That's like a pot of stew, a pot of greens. It has to cook for a minute.
All right. Somebody else said... we will remember. They're going to remember that.
All right. Okay. So
you're getting excited over there. I feel something. Hey, God. All right. Blessing blocker.
So, as we go on with this, we need to go on with Bible study, okay?
Oh, that's key. That's key there, because we don't want to put ourselves in a position where we are blocking what God is trying to promote, or what God's agenda might be. And people, many times they were in that framework and that piece, that place, and in that position and don't really know it.
That's right.
They are doing more mm-hmm. damage than they are good, mm-hmm. and they are listening more to the enemy than they are applying God's word to their situation. That's why we have to be keenly aware of what the scripture says in terms of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be added unto us. Praying and asking God to give us a spirit of discernment, mm-hmm. and being aware of what's happening and being open to the leading of the Spirit. Because if we don't study this word and we don't get into this word, we can easily fall into a trap of deception.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So what would you say would be kind of a recap for 27? Because we've talked about a lot, but what would you say would be something that we can just maybe hang our hat on here for this, for the sake of this particular chapter?
I guess that we need to follow God's plan, because God's plan always leads to blessings.
Okay. Okay.
You know, it's not man's way. You mm-hmm. know, but it's God's way.
Okay.
And God's way will lead to new beginnings, because we know, that even though some deception took place,
right,
some new beginnings took place also.
Okay. Okay. And the blessing that was established with Abraham is still trickling down now to his son, Isaac, the son of promise, and then to his sons, Esau and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacob is actually going to take a more prominent role in initiating that whole process as it moves forward.
Right.
What was the promise? What was the promise that Abraham had received?
Well, the promise or the blessing? Oh, you said Abraham had received. Oh, that the promise that Abraham received from God is that his offspring or his seed would be numerous, too many to count. You know, and God told him, look up in the sky, you know, can you know, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky or the sands on the seashore.
Right, right.
So that was the promise.
Okay, okay. All right. All right. So that's chapter 27, is that right? And we're moving now to chapter 28 of Genesis. If there are any questions, go ahead and put them in the margin. We want to see if we can entertain those. Our time is kind of getting away from us. Lady Kim, you have some additional thoughts there?
Yeah, I think one significant thing that we need to bring out here in 27, because it's going to be key in chapter 28, is that when Esau found out that he had been tricked out of his birthright and his blessing, he was so angry that he plotted to kill his brother, Jacob. And so his mom told his brother, you know, you need to get out of
town.
You
need to go.
You need to find a wife.
It's getting hot in here.
Yeah. She said, you need to go to my brother's house. And when you get to my brother's house, you need to find a wife there. And so she also went to Jacob and told Jacob that, you know, these Canaanite women aren't about anything around here. So Jacob needs to go find a wife. So Isaac was in agreement with Jacob leaving and going to his uncle's house.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's key in this 27th chapter, that they had a plan and they hatched that plan. And once the plan was hatched, then they had to move on.
That's right. That's right. Because this, now this is a drama in this particular chapter. As we go into 28, it's going to continue. And it's just as real today as it was back then.
Yeah.
And even though Abraham had one son, Ishmael, Ishmael was not the son of promise. But Isaac was the son of promise to he and Sarah. And as a result of that, the promise is still coming to fruition. The plan is still in motion. And all kind of other things begin to intersect there to cause deception and confusion, and trying to prevent what God is already set in motion. And as you indicated, even though there might be deception, even though people might not align themselves with what God is saying, God's will prevail in the end.
Amen.
Okay.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
All right. Well, 28, chapter 28, that's where we are. We put a lot of energy into that chapter, Lady Kim. I may have kind of thrown everything off track there, but we were going to try to cover at least 28 and 29. You think we can do that in the time that we have?
I don't know. We can try. Let's press on.
Press.
Yes.
Press.
And see what we can, how far we can get. Well, chapter 28, you know, as a main topic or a main theme is knowing what part of culture to accept and what part to reject. So I'm just going to give a little brief overview of chapter 28. The focus is faithfulness to God no matter what.
Okay.
Faithfulness to God no matter what. There were three great themes in this chapter's scriptures. Exclusion of those who are not our kind, such as foreigners.
Okay.
Assimilating with surrounding culture, but still being faithful to God. Then the next one was encounter with the promise or the blessing that was seen in Jacob's encounter with God, seeing angels descending from and ascending to heaven and his receiving the promise.
Okay.
And God's encounter with us through the Spirit and engagement. And then lastly, focus on our response to God after our encounter caused us to have an engagement with him. Jacob had a threefold response. He acknowledges he has an encounter. He engages in physical and spiritual action by creating an altar to signify that the place where he has had the encounter has encountered God is holy, and commits himself to God by deciding that God keeps his promises. Therefore, when he, Jacob, would make this God, his God, giving him a tenth of all he received. So this is where, again, we see a tenth of giving in the Bible, in the New Testament, the tithe.
The Old Testament.
The Old Testament, yes. Mm-hmm. We should also focus so that we will be engaged with God, being faithful by loving God and our neighbor, and being faithful to God through worship and study. We love our neighbor by forgiving, feeding, welcoming, and sharing.
Okay. That's a lot in terms of knowing the culture, what part of the culture to accept, and what part of the culture to reject.
Mm-hmm.
What comes to mind, when you said that, I was thinking about that scripture that reminds us to be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so part of understanding what to accept and to reject has to, for us, to be in this word and understanding that the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. And if we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, we can rightly divide the word of truth, and we can discern what the culture is trying to present to us, and know what to accept and what to reject.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. All right. So Jacob is playing a major role in this chapter, chapter 28. Is that right?
That's correct.
So he went looking for a wife when we left out of 27. And this is part of 28 as well. So did he find him a wife?
Well, you know, even in the very first verse of 28, it said that Isaac blessed Jacob and told him not to marry any Canaanite girls,
mm-hmm.
but to go to his grandfather's and marry one of his cousins or his uncle Laban's daughters. So
okay.
That was Rebekah's brother. He told him to go to Rebekah's brother. Well, Jacob told him to go to his grandfather's house. But he was to marry one of his uncle's daughters.
Okay.
So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went on. So, but Esau realized that his father and mother, you know, didn't like the local girls, and had sent Jacob away. Then Esau also wanted to find him a wife.
Right. Right.
So yes.
And part of that had to do with making sure that the bloodline would stay in such a way that it would fulfill the original design that God had put in place with Abraham as it relates to the promise.
Mm-hmm.
And for the those who would be born, they would continue to allow that to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And while Jacob was on his way, he went to Haran, and he stayed in a place all night long,
uh-huh.
and he used rocks for a pillow. And, you know, when he fell asleep, he had a dream. Remember, we talked in the summary about angels ascending
right.
and descending. A ladder was set upon the earth with the top reaching heaven, and God's angels were going up and down the ladder.
Okay. All right. There's your, look like we have our report from last week there, Lady Kim.
Okay.
We asked the Staples to do a report.
Yeah.
And so, Sister Gwen is she making a statement there about?
She said God's count of time, 1,000 years, was equivalent to one day at 2 Peter 3:8 and Psalms 90:4. When Adam ate of the tree of knowledge, his life was immediately cut short. We were talking about how long people live.
Right.
For those who were not in attendance last week, we were talking about how people lived a long life in the Bible. So when Adam ate from the tree of knowledge, his life was cut short. God said, "The day you eat of it, you shall surely die." Adam lived 920 years, but he died before it was a day in God's sight.
Okay.
Amen. That would account for their ability to have children at such old ages.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Thank you,
That's
Sister good. Gwen. That
Thank
was
you
awesome.
So much. That's great job. Great
yes.
job.
Yes. Good. All right.
All right. So everyone has that information. That's some key information there in terms of helping us to discern and get a sense of what God is saying in that particular mm-hmm. when age. Because Abraham, I think he was 170 when he died, and I believe his wife
Sarah was 120
20 years old.
124 or 128, one of those.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Abraham had more kids even after.
After Sarah died, right. He had more children.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
But we were talking about how Jacob had, once he saw the descending and ascending angels, he set up a tabernacle, or he set up a memorial pillar there where he was pouring olive oil over the rock, and he named the place Bethel. And Bethel means house of God.
House of God.
House of God.
Okay.
Yes. And so Jacob vowed a vow to God that if God would protect him on his journey and give him food and clothes, that he would continue to believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he continued his vow and he worshiped there. And so I guess one of the things that we can get out of this 28th chapter is, you know, faithfulness to God. In what ways are we faithful to God?
That's good.
You know, in what ways are we least faithful to God?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those are some questions
keep,
that we
keep
need to ask
keeping our vows
ourselves.
And being faithful. And when God puts us in a place of blessing, then... What does he say?
Marquise said, that's a good name.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
That's right.
Pastor
Bethel.
Marquise.
Bethel.
House of God.
Hi.
Bethel. New Bethel.
Glory God.
Yes, Lord.
Glory God. Go back to Bethel, because it was at Bethel where Jacob really, as he made that vow, he vowed to God that he would give a tenth of everything that
yes.
God had allowed him to be blessed with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what you talked about in how that revelation began to take existence, and it even carried over even into the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that we've indicated previously is that when we get a good in-depth study knowledge of Genesis, it helps unfold and unlock what happens even in the New Testament and the rest of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
because it all starts here and then it flushes itself out. Wouldn't you agree, Lady Kim?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. So that was some rich information. Let's see what we can do with chapter 29. We're in chapter 29 of Genesis. We've already covered 27 and 28 tonight. And God's getting ready to do some interesting things here in this 29th chapter as well. But this is almost a continuation, and we see Jacob continuing to be one of the main characters or the main focal point in this particular chapter as well.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. I guess our main theme for the 29th chapter is God's plans and justice wins. His blessings and promises are sure. And we also know what goes around comes around. What goes around comes around.
All right.
Yes.
What goes around comes around.
Right.
What does that mean in our day and time?
Well, it's also what you sow that you shall also reap.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Right. So yeah. That means whatever you put out, it's going to come back.
Wow.
And most of the time, it's going to come back more than what you put out.
So you got to, if you put out negative, then you're saying that's the same, that application still applies.
Absolutely.
In the natural as well as in the spirit.
Absolutely.
Right? So give us an example of putting out the wrong kind of stuff. Somebody call it karma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, give us an example, Lady Kim, of somebody putting out the wrong kind of stuff.
Mm.
Talking about people,
lies. Spread lies and gossip and hate, then that's going to come back to you.
So it comes back in the same way it goes out?
Not all the time. Sometimes it does, but not all the time.
So if you put out hate, then you're going to get hate back? Is that what you say?
Most of the time.
Most of the time?
Yeah.
So what would be the alternative for the other times if it doesn't come back as hate? And I'm not, this is not a trick question. We hadn't prepared for this. I wasn't even thinking about this before tonight. But I'm just trying to help people understand what goes around comes around. We understand that concept. And we understand that, as you said, as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So those things that, it's like the seed time and harvest time. Mm-hmm. It's like what you plant, you can expect to get a harvest as a result of what seeds you have put in the ground. And many times people put a lot of negativity and a lot of things that are not going to produce any good. And they expect that something good is going to come out of something negative that's been planted. But no, mm-hmm. it might not come in the exact form or fashion, but it's going to be something that's going to interrupt or cause that kind of experience for you or either those who you are associated with in your own life.
Yeah. Sister Marion Higgs said mistreating people.
Mistreating people.
Yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If you mistreat somebody, somebody going to mistreat you. Or worse than that, they're going to mistreat your children.
Wow. Wow.
You know? And it doesn't necessarily come back in the same form.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like you said, it's always worse than what you put out, you know? Because when you plant a seed, you usually get a harvest of much more than that one little seed that you planted. So, yeah, it's what goes around comes around.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
All right. So the focus of this 29th chapter is on Jacob and the promise of God. Jacob searched for his relatives in order to find a wife acceptable to his mother and or shelter from his brother Esau, who wanted to kill him. God continued blessing Jacob so that the promise of God might continue. Jacob would be deceived just as he had deceived his older brother. Jacob found his father's family, meeting shepherds who knew his uncle Laban, and meeting his uncle's second daughter, Rachel, who told her father about Jacob, their kin. Her father invited Jacob to stay with them. Jacob's uncle, Laban, deceived Jacob to get labor from him, offering Rachel to him after 7 years of working for Laban. Sent Rachel's sister into the tent to sleep with Jacob, who did not realize what happened until the next morning. Laban's deception by bargaining for another 7 years of working for Laban continued with Jacob sleeping with his wife, however, after only 7 days. Finally, the promise of children was fulfilled with Leah, unloved by Jacob, conceiving 4 sons, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Rachel remained barren.
Isn't that something?
Yes. So we see here a whole lot of drama going on. That's why I hope you all read this 29th chapter before you tuned in to Bible study tonight. Because, you know, again, we talked about what goes around comes around. Remember, Jacob tricked his brother out of his birthright and his blessing. And now his uncle Laban tricks him out of the love of his life.
That's right. And had to work double for it.
Had to work double for some more trouble.
Yeah. And it's interesting that the same way that deception took place back in 27, Leah came in to Jacob and he thought it was Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
and he woke up that next morning and he said, "My God, what is this?"
But you know,
y'all need to read that chapter because it's interesting.
I kind of wonder how that all played out.
Yeah,
because she must have had a veil or something over, and he must have been drunk or something from the wedding reception.
Right. That's why I started laughing when you were reading that because they said Leah was kind of cockeyed and everything.
Well,
else.
They said her eyes were.
That's
in the Bible. It just kind of lets us assume that. Leah was not cute.
Right.
But Rachel was fine as wine.
That's right.
They said she was beautiful and she was shapely. But on the other hand, Leah has some, you know, kind of physical unattractiveness.
That's why it's kind of hard. But it's, you know, for he must have had gone through some things that night or that evening for him not to really. If Rachel was the love of his life, and he had been eyeing her for the whole time he was there, seemed like to me now it would have been some kind of attraction even once she came in and he had an opportunity to be with her.
Yes, well, there was an attraction there. Leah was attracted
to him.
That's
what I'm saying, but I don't know how he missed that and didn't know that was Rachel. So that's a whole nother can of worms.
We're not going down there speculating. Yeah.
But see, in the day's time, I'm using it from my own days, my terminology in the world, today's terminology, and how, and it probably could happen. I don't know. I've never been in that situation, so it probably could happen. What did they say?
Mr. Qualley said, Lady Kim, thank you for trying, but Leah was anesthetically challenged, and that's just what she was.
So you tried to help her.
I tried to help her a little bit.
Right.
But Leah was not attractive. She was not the most attractive young lady.
So they had all kind of veils over her and everything else.
They probably did. You know, they didn't want Jacob to know he was cockeyed. Oh, excuse me.
Don't say that.
That's not nice.
That's not nice.
They didn't want Jacob to know that it was Leah that he was consummating the relationship with. Because once you consummated that relationship,
that sealed the deal. That's right.
So he was so upset when he found out that it was Leah and not Rachel, because he worked for his uncle Laban seven years.
That's
in
right.
order to marry Rachel,
right.
the beautiful, shapely Rachel. And instead, Laban tricked him and sent Leah in, and he slept and consummated the relationship with Leah. So, you know, Jacob loved Rachel. I mean, he loved Rachel so much, he was willing to work another
seven years. And had some sons by Leah in the process.
Yes, he did.
And
yes,
these are some of the sons that's helping to, we're going to see these, the 12 tribes begin to establish in that lineage. And then you also see the promise as that was attached to Abraham coming even more to fruition as a result of what happens with these chapters. And even though that was not, like you indicated earlier, the design that God had in mind, and deception played a major role in what's happening, but it did not hinder what God had set in motion to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Right?
Amen.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. Mm-hmm. So how do we summarize 29? Because our time is really, we're right there, Lady Kim. Do you want to pick this up next week or just kind of summarize and let the people read it? And then we can move on to chapter 30 next week.
Well, you know, instead of really summarizing that whole thing, well, we can say God's promises and blessings off the field and bring new beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I want to leave us with is another question. Have you been the recipient of what goes around comes around?
Wow.
Have any of us been the recipient of what goes around comes around? And then as a result of that, did a new beginning happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, was there a new beginning?
Okay. Somebody said that it could go for generations with something happens like that. It might not necessarily, you might not necessarily be the one that what goes around comes around hits. It might be some generation after you.
Your children or your grandchildren.
Right.
Can go down through generations.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
You can cause generational suffering.
Right.
So.
And we talked about that generational. People talk about the generational curse. But we speak generational blessings even tonight over the lives of God's people. And you don't have to continue in the same vein in which you have been, what you have seen and you have grown up in. But we believe that God will give you a new beginning. And if you but trust him, then you can break that curse and God will restore generational blessings over your house. And so we believe that, and we live that, and we proclaim it, and we decree it even now in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. It's 7 o'clock, Lady Kim.
Yeah, yes, it is.
Okay, all right. So this has been a great study. We're going to continue next week, and we're going to be in the 30th chapter, and we're going to try to cover at least 3 chapters, encouraging you to go ahead and read ahead of time. And so when we come next Monday, we won't read every verse, and we'll talk about the main things that's happening in that chapter. And then you will also have confirmation because you have read it yourself. Isn't that right?
That's right. 30 through, at least through 33.
Okay. You know,
Genesis 30, chapters 30 through 33. That's okay. A tongue twister.
Say that 3 times and then spin around. Can you do it? All right. Well, any praise reports, prayer requests, anything we need to be aware of as we close out tonight, Lady Kim?
Well, a praise report. Sister Pat Reynolds, her mother fell last week and broke her hip. They're waiting now to move her to the rehab facility. 95 years old, almost 96, 95 and a half years old, her mother-in-law. That's Brother Charles's mother. And she's doing much better, So they're getting ready to move her to a rehab facility. So we just pray for Sister Julie Reynolds, lifting up Sister Julie Reynolds, as well as Brother Daryl Taylor. We want to continue to lift him up in our prayers. And Sister Elaine Stevenson, we want to lift her up in our prayers also.
Okay. And many people responded, Lady Kim, and I look back on the service yesterday from the comments after we made the announcement about support.